Now, this is 1975, and I don't know just what the sequence is here. This is Cookie with Debbie and Rick on Thursday after supper, the 4th of January, 73, channel 2, right, 400 to 1750. But I'm taking the whole channel 2 right. Debbie and Rick are there to start with, and when Cookie comes in, I don't know. And this is channel 2 right on the old reel, 400, but I'm starting on channel 1 right on Cookie's new reel 31. Cookie's new reel 31 with Cookie, with Debbie and Rick, Thursday after supper, the 4th of January, 73. Cookie's new reel number 31, 1975, with Thursday after supper, the 4th of January, 73. I got the tapes, but it'd be nice to have him, too, to check things and listen to it. And he has clots in his legs, and he rubs them out before they get up to his heart. He has gas pains that keep him awake all night, some nights. So he's just hanging by a thread. When you see him over here, sort of like his willpower, and it's what he learned from that chiropractor that keeps him going. And no one that's talked to Mr. Weaver can interpret him. All they can see is that he's just an old windbag, and he just like his brother says, you know, I had a brother, I got a brother, and he's over here looking at this beautiful place. We've gone on out, and he says he could have had anything he wanted if it hadn't been for dogs. Well, it takes more than Buck to interpret him. For one thing, turn it off, see? For one thing, you see, he has a gift, and people with a gift addled a good part of the time. Just set it down and let it go. But he has a gift. There are good many things you can say about him that it would help to interpret him. And it's something I don't think has ever been done. I don't think anyone has ever been able to do it. You read those things in Faulkner, and you read them like it's read in the language of the Reader's Digest. You don't ever come in contact, you never come to grips, you see, with the people in Faulkner, not the countryside, you don't. Like in that first part of the Hamlet. Now, I got several ways of handling it. It won't care itself. And the thing of it is, the overall objective is to set it down so that it won't be possible for the reader to be condescending. It could be the other way. And if you're good, I think you could make it the other way. So that you wish you'd been there. You live then. I think if you hit it right, now I'm not that good, but I'm pretty good.
I can put it down and I can make it convincing, you see, and I don't have to write MLA language. I can't write like Mr. I can't provide a rhetoric like Melville. But he won't wait forever. Now you got on here the last of November. And I worked with you solid. That's all I did. I put Mr. Weaver off. I put the Grant off. Just to work with you. You don't owe me a thing. You learned a good bit. If you want to use it, here's the time to use it. But you got so many delays, you see, it's going to wear me out. I won't be here either. You see, I'm 65. My faculties could go just like his. They haven't yet. But I've got better faculties than you have. And I can do it more sustained. You can't even keep up with me. Not in hours or in the quality of the work. So it's mostly you be learning from me. I can also learn from you. But we won't be here forever. One experience I've had with the people I work with, they want to bring their sweethearts and boyfriends out here. And their family and their friends. And when I'm working, you see, I don't talk well. I clash with people. I tell them that. They still do that. So it puts me in a very bad light. I also tell them, don't proselyte amongst your friends. Don't say anything at all about what you're doing out here. Just say we're out here riding horses. But they won't do that. Now what you do after you get through with me, that's up to you. You can use anything you learn out here with great freedom. Perfect. But while you're out here, you ought to observe some of the ground rules that I have found you have to use just to protect yourself. When talk with anybody about anything that goes on out here, except riding horses. All the rest of it will just get it all balled up. It'll get the whole thing balled up, you don't know how quick. You just look at Shaw. I just made one misstatement, and I say I'll never get through. Get through that. Get over that. One mistake. Why that little great brain over there with the agricultural provost ever referred me to that quarter is more than I can figure out. I wouldn't even try to figure it out.
Well, how about some coffee? Debbie was saying that she was talking, her talk was a little different. And it was more natural. And some of her friends corrected her.
Yes.
And she said, and David was saying, you can't explain, and you don't need to. You can show, but you can't explain.
It weren't my speech. It was my grammar.
They noticed it.
Oh, yeah. They surely did. And I don't even notice it anymore. I don't even know what it's wrong.
That her mother said to her.
I don't even know when it's wrong.
See, that's an Emerson. But it's one of the sayings in Emerson that was abandoned. That was in the great part of Emerson of the Circus. And they went off and left Emerson just like, just abandoned it. But that's in Emerson of the Circus. The language of the countryside, he doesn't call it. There's some remarkable things in that early part of Emerson, and that's all I know. I guess out here we carried it a good bit further than he ever dreamed it would go. The ministers abandoned it, and the academic people abandoned it. Even back there, the institution abandoned it. It's amazing. And I see I resurrected and put flesh and blood on it. They always say that Thoreau put flesh and blood on Emerson. He doesn't put as much flesh and blood on Emerson as I do. He goes another direction.
And Debbie caught this too about it's possible to see the Mr. Weavers without being condescending. And that is something to do.
Well, now this is different from what you've been doing, you see. You've been 3 or 4 hours, what you were doing was all you could do, or this, you can do this around the clock. You can do this from the time you get up, the time you go to bed. You're working in it. But he's doing the thinking, you see. Just getting enough stuff there to go on. Now, I'm going to hang it on the shop chalet. And you can see how you get one of the so-called masterpieces, if you call it that, and use it. You can see that. I mean, that's the object. So there's a right smart of literary skill involved in it. Comes from all directions. But just to give a little lesson now, this is the way you do it. I'm past that. I don't give lessons anymore. I mean, it has to amount to something. Have to use it. And sometimes you make more of it than Shropshire did, than Hausman did. And the book on Hausman, I can't use it. You see, it's a thesis from the university. And I might say the wrong thing. So I just won't use that. I've read it, but I don't need it. All I need, I can get somebody else. And I can't see that they really, really make much of Hausman. So now, you see, you can take it in that direction. In other words, you don't want to debunk Hausman. You don't debunk anybody. If it's possible, you see, you wouldn't say anything that would infringe on anybody's territorial rights. If you could, you can, pretty much. But it's all there.
Mm-hmm.
Not too much.
David's tough. She's no sissy. She's can work.
She postponed.
Well, I know, but she's better than she was. At least she didn't postpone 3 months, like 10 years. Look what she does when she puts her mind to it. I think this is going to be exciting. I want to sit in on it. I want to be in on this. I've been looking forward to it.
Now, you see, this will change you, mm-hmm. if you ever get a hold of it. But you won't see it changing. The only thing is, you want to hold on to the material you've been using in the same terms, and you can. You can. But you'll have to make yourself do it. The manner that you worked out, and so you worked it out. I didn't do anything about it. Just talk to you. That you worked out, the prose you worked out, and your handling of it. I think it's too useful to you. Too fruitful to abandon it. If you let it go, you'll get something that won't be as good, as useful to you. You don't want to say the last word on anything. You just want a fruitful approach to it.
Yes, but just like that, you see things so quickly, David. It's really quite exciting. The first time you heard Cookie report, and you said, for the first time, all you had to do was just to let him take it.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote it himself. And that was just a little bit, you see, that you saw. And when you get into really to seeing something, someone, and using literally something to hang it on.
You have to work a little bit in the tape. I think it'd be better to work in the tape a little bit before you latch on Mr. Weaver. Now he's going to Hawthorne this afternoon, and tonight he'll be too tired. And now I can't make your schedule for you, but. See, you can't get into it in the middle. You can't just, he'll come over here and I'll talk to him. But unless you know what it's all about, you know, there's no use listening
mm-hmm.
to him, you see.
Mm-hmm, that's
you,
right.
You've got to come
I
along.
See that.
And I think it's a matter of, in this, it's a matter of just being sustained.
I think maybe to listen to the tapes, some of these tapes, get into it a little bit before we get him.
There's so much simple to take course.
It's not any fun.
I'll be there at 7:00.
Now, what was it, David? You were the only one out of your class of how many? At Duke that didn't go to graduate school.
Oh, there were 6 of us, I guess. Well, there were 20 in the program, and 6 of us got the little gold seal or whatever, and I was the only one that didn't go to graduate school.
Out of all of them, or just those 6?
Out of those 6.
So the rest of them are learned now, and here you are.
Using poor grammar.
Poor grammar.
Going backwards.
You know, she's gone so far, see? And I don't know how much, I don't know you see, David doesn't know what else there is. You see, she hadn't worked with the other people besides me since then. See, it's almost as if they say when you enter these portals, just leave all your experience behind. It's almost that. They say you're going to use it, but you don't.
You don't even talk, as you say.
Mm-hmm.
No.
I know how to listen to
it. It'd be nice to have at least one person like you, Dorothy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
At least one.
At least one, you do. Right?
And Mrs. Rawlins. She could almost see Mrs. Rawlins now.
Mm-hmm.
Not quite.
Mm-hmm.
See, Mrs. Rawlins lived, before she wrote the Cross Creek Sketches, she lived for over 10 years without any petitions with the countryside and the mosquitoes. That was more than the countryside she lived with.
Yes, and see, she's going to be so educated she won't need to go to graduate school. Teach them something when she goes. That's the thing. What we got to do, Wealthy?
Well, it's not matter. I sure love to talk to that woman.
Wouldn't
you?
Oh, I would too.
I
she just said some wonderful things. She said that people in the South, well, she was talking about Southern literature. Well, you saw it. She was talking about Southern literature and saying that in the South people talk.
Talk.
They talk all the time. And that I love, she said that you always know all the generations, that yesterday is just as clear as it is today, and you know that
when
Susie
did
Bell
you hear
is
that
gonna,
before?
That you know that Susie Bell, I know, it was just deja vu, you know. I sat there in front of the television set having heard it all before. And she said, you know that Susie Bell is gonna go crazy at age 18 because you know that her great great aunt on her father's side, her stepsister went crazy at age 16, so you know it all already.
Yeah. Now you see, she could read you to her wealth and tell me about her.
Mm-hmm.
With my visibility, she could do that
mm-hmm.
and have for 2 or 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
And we could see what's in her.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm just so, really so excited about this prospect of getting into this. when we all have the same sort of background.
Mm-hmm.
But you see how you had to hear this, all this stuff a little bit before you could. And
but
you can't go around explaining
no.
it, and you just can't.
I have to get the cobwebs out of my mind for a minute.
Simply have to be able to do what I'm able to do, had learned to do. And when I go into with my friends, I simply revert. I simply just be a different person.
Mm-hmm.
And you just have to.
Makes you a little schizophrenic in
well,
some way.
Not really.
No, that's the wrong word. That's a Freudian word. What I meant was split. See, I've been going to too many cocktail parties. I talked to
when you get a little bit stronger in it, it's a marvelous thing to be able to be, just be, when you're good enough at what you keep publishing it. And nobody thinks you need to run it. You see, this is the whole thing. But look how many hurdles you've got.
It's not that much older.
You want a hand?
Hey.
Hi.
I haven't seen you since last year.
That's right. You have been last year, ain't
that right? Well, maybe you have to see.
Oh. I ain't got just a couple of minutes.
It's beautiful. That's the whole thing, you know.
That's the rule. That's the rule.
Here, could you sit over here and I'll give you a cup of coffee.
Get over here in the light where I can see you.
You come over here, Rick.
You
want to hide?
Yeah.
Over here where I can see you.
Yeah. Move up there, Cookie, and give me a cup of coffee. We got one. You probably had a dozen.
Yeah, I'm floating in coffee. I can always drink a cup of coffee.
I could too, yeah.
Always.
Always.
See where? What is today?
Thursday.
You back already?
I didn't get there.
Didn't get all the way.
No, weather's too bad up in there. Me take a chance on getting up there and get stranded.
Gosh, yes, the weather's bad.
And I got to meet them doctors first of the week, and there ain't no way for me to miss them if I can help it.
You got to meet the doctors.
Yeah. See whether they're going to let me live or kill me.
Well, maybe some of your friends might put in a word to hang you to a tree.
I know that's what they're going to want to do. They're going to want to tie me up to a tree like I can't move. But they ain't going to do that. Uh-huh. I ain't going to do that. But I'm going to ride Apex.
Is that here? Is it here?
Gainesville.
Yeah.
Well, you got to see doctors in Gainesville.
Yeah. And maybe on in Tampa. I don't know what they got up their sleeve. Got a card today, though, that I would make that meeting. Monday morning at 11 o'clock, and there's another Tuesday morning at 11 o'clock. And I got to be there, both of them.
Well,
I'm going to be there.
You going to carry a witness?
Oh, I ain't going to carry nobody. I'm just going to walk in and tell you, here I am. Now, do what you want to with me. While I'm there. When I get out, I'll do as I please.
We just playing this on the Today program this morning. It was all along. This science writer for the New York Times has written a book on the medical services, and he was reporting favorably on it all. I just play it. we were just talking about it. But, we could get the book and find out a whole lot of things we don't know.
Y'all can show them.
I'm a hillbilly.
That's what made
Bill go.
Yeah.
Can't anybody know sugar in a coffee, a city dude. That's what Frank calls him.
Yeah.
Stop him going to a restaurant and he drinks a cup of coffee and fast and he wants sugar and he'll say, no, I'm a hillbilly. Anybody drinks sugar in their coffee is a city dude. Found me some good hay today, guy.
Well, let me tell you, I've tossed a little over there on the other side of the fence. And you ought to have seen that Ajax, Apex. Well, it took him a long time to even get up there. And when he got up there, you know, he got that long nose and he sort of stuck it out there and looked at it, you see, and he nibbled a little bit. He must have saw it for sure. Something has happened to the hay situation. And Roddy just took it for granted.
Yeah.
He knew if it saw to us or not, just go ahead and eat it.
And I've been all day hunting hay. But I found some. I've got some good hay.
Well, that's the thing of it, you see.
It's last cutting. I mean, next to the last cutting of coastal Bermuda. It's not the first cutting. It's the middle cutting of coastal Bermuda. Boy, it's got a good smell to it, and it's just pretty and bright.
Yeah.
I threw a couple bunches over the fence down there, and I began to think I wasn't going to get them horses away from it to eat their sweet feet.
Yeah, they get hungry for it.
That's right. I bought a ton, put it in the, brought it in, and I'm going to go back and get some more, because I don't know where there's any more at. I don't even know where to go hunt for hay.
If you don't use it, you can sure...
I can get rid of it.
Get rid of it.
I'm going to go get another truckload tomorrow.
Well, how in the world did you happen to find it?
I just lucked upon it. I give up and come back to Keystone Heights. Stopped over at Durbin's Milling Company to get me some good horse feed. And I asked Jake, I said, Jake, where can I get some hay? He said, you go out here and wind around out here. I couldn't tell you how to get in there to save my life, but I can go back there. To a chicken farm, and he's got about 850 bales, and he'll sell it to you.
What?
I said, okay. So I started hunting at 2 o'clock, and at 3:45, I found the chicken farm. Right back out in the boondocks, right on the lake, between two lakes. And he got some good hay.
What do you mean, boondocks?
Just about as far back out through the woods as you can stick a butcher knife without turning it over.
Boondocks?
That's right. That's boondocks.
That wasn't in my spelling book when I was growing up. Boondocks.
It wasn't in mine. I didn't know what the boondocks was till I come to Florida.
Oh, is that it?
Oh. That's a cracker expression, yeah. That ain't no hillbilly expression.
Well, this fella uses it on the radio.
Well, he's been to Florida then, because I never heard tell of it till I come to Florida.
Yeah, the trouble is, he said, the doctors wouldn't go everywhere. Well, he says it's the same thing in the Soviet Union. He says, it's just human nature. He says, they just don't want to go to boondocks. Wasn't that the word?
I got. Now I went over and got me 4 bags of good horse feed, a ton of hay. Saved enough on a set of tires for Laura's car, by golly, to pay for my hay and feed and my gas and everything.
Over at,
over in Gainesville. I went to Gainesville today to buy 2 tires for Laura's car. See, run them to lay. You can see the area, and of course, you'll ever say anything about it.
Yeah.
I went over there. Went to John Mott's and asked him, I said, you got any 645 14 tires? Yes, sir. He said, I've got 5. I'm pulling off that car right there. He said, this man bought it for his daughter and she wants white wall tires.
5 of them.
And he said, I'm going to sell him tires there for a $50 bill.
All 5 of them?
All 5 of them for a $50 bill. I said, how quick can you get them off? He said, just in a minute. I said, all right. When you take them off, just throw them back in my pickup. I gave him a $50 bill, and I said, weed? And he said, yes, sir. I said, thank you very much, Mr. Mott.
Hmm. You were percolating today, weren't you?
No, and that's no guess. You could see the tires were good.
Right there. You bought this car for her for Christmas? It had 1,200 miles on it.
Those tires aren't even broken.
They ain't even dirty.
Never heard of a tire for $10.
Well, I bought 5 of them today for $50. Mm-hmm. They're Goodyear polyester cord. They cost $32.88 a piece at Goodyear right today. I called and found out after I got home. I called over Goodyear and asked them what a tire like that was worth, if they had one at my car. And they said, we don't got one, but we can have one about the middle of the month. I said, that's done too late, because I'm going to be gone by that time. Thank you very much. $32.88. That's not mounted or balanced. That's just a naked tire. And I bought 5 of them for $50.
So you saved enough to 5 of them. Yes.
No wonder.
Over $100 I saved.
You got enough to get your tire, your hay, and your feed.
Pay for my gas and give me $20 bill for my time.
But it took you a while to find the boondocks.
Took me a while to find the boondocks.
You think you can find it again?
Yeah, I can go up there tonight.
Well, if you talk about hay, I thought I'd put up a little good hay. But every bit of it I have took out of there is dusty, just like it was.
Let it get too dry.
Yes.
Let it get too dry.
But when I brought it out there, some of it I put in there was good hay. Let me tell you, I told you about old Burma Dodd with that fluffer.
Yeah, yeah.
The first time I've ever seen him, he was putting up good hay, and what had happened was, you see, he'd cut it, and the next day he'd fluff it and take it up that same afternoon. And that, and heretofore, up until now, he's been using, he'd been taking 2 and 3 and 4 days to cure it.
Yeah.
And then he'd go out there and stir it with his rotary mower. That's a nice way to stir it, isn't it?
Yeah, breaks it up.
Yeah.
At least I cut. That's the way this old fella put it up. And it's good hay, good shape, good big heavy bales. That's all I can pick up. I put 20 of them in my trailer a while ago. Well, I said a while ago, I got there about 7:15. Took me about 45 minutes to wag them all in.
Well, what was it like out there at the Boondocks? Where you, he had a chicken house?
Yeah. Oh, he got a nice place out there once you get to it.
Yeah. And that's out from
Keystone Heights.
Keystone Heights. I've never been up to Keystone Heights. How far is that from where?
It's 6 miles from Melrose.
Oh, is that all?
Yeah, Melrose is 9 miles from Hawthorne.
Yeah.
15 miles from Hawthorne.
Yeah.
And it's 19 miles from here to Hawthorne.
Well, how far is it from Keystone to the Boondocks?
About 4 miles out in there.
Yeah. I don't know what sort of country that is up there.
It's just sand and hills, that's all there is. Blackjack ridges and so forth.
Nothing up that much?
Uh-uh.
Well, that's where I ought to be. Getting too much going on down here for me.
I may have a place for you. It's 2 3/10 miles from the highway back out to where this trailer is setting on 10 acres of land.
Yeah.
And I may have bought the damn thing.
Yeah.
You may have bought it.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you.
Right out there by Garcia, boy, you can hear the whippoorwills hollering at night.
All right, I'll take that, and you take this place with all the cows and things. And the civilization that you get along with it.
10 acres, I mean, or 7 acres in permanent pasture, and 3 acres in slash pine. Nice big trailer, outbuilding.
And you think you might have bought it?
I think I might have bought it.
Yeah. I hear that. You wouldn't have to hire your whole family out if you lived up there, would you?
I probably wouldn't see them more than once a month if I lived up there.
That's right.
Or I'd stay gone.
Yeah.
But I know they ain't going to go out there. I'd stay right out there in the middle of them woods. It's right out in the middle of about 8 or 10,000 acres of Owens, Illinois.
Oh, it's really isolated.
It is really isolated. There ain't nothing within 2 3/10 miles of that damn place.
That's pretty far.
It cost the man a little better than $400 to get a telephone put out there.
Woo!
That's being out there. Now that's just what it cost him.
So if he wants to communicate with anybody, he got a telephone.
He got a telephone and a private line, because there ain't nobody else out there.
You know, I went in my little old peaked puny office the other day, and I didn't hardly sit down, and I couldn't hardly believe it. Right there on the desk was a brand new telephone. Well, I thought, well, Lord help us, somebody's left something in here. Well, I was out there in the hall, and I was looking for the directory. And I thought, well, while I was out there, I'd ring it. We all been using that little wall booger. There's nothing to write on in case you want to write. Or even look at the book. It's kind of hard to look at the book. And it had gone. And that means there's a telephone in every office there. Maybe every desk, I don't know. Every office.
You have your own telephone.
Well, that's going to cost some, Mr. Cook.
Yes, sir.
I don't know what that costs. If they get a private telephone there, it's business rate. But now these may be little extensions, and not come quite that high, but I doubt it. Do you know anything about dogs, Mr. Weaver's dogs?
Not a damn thing. just enough to let them alone.
Rick was over there this afternoon trying to get a little information about dogs, and
did you get it?
I don't know. What sort of information would you want about dogs? There's all sorts of ways of looking at one.
Well, the way I look at one, I mean, he's just a dog. I ain't got no use for no hunting dog. The only kind of dog I've got use for is a biting dog.
Barking dog?
Biting dog. I don't want no barking dog. I almost shot Lars last night, and that's what I asked. And out there about the back of my bedroom window just a barking at the blue sky, and there wasn't a thing moving, wasn't even a twig moving, and that rascal sitting there just a barking to hear his head roar.
Well, you can stand it for, it's all right for the first 2 or 3 hours.
But when it comes to being all night, that's getting to be old.
Yeah.
I got my buggy whip and went to work.
You'd think he'd want to move around a little.
But he wanted to sit right there and under my window. I got my buggy whip and I went to work.
It didn't take long.
I cut him about that first, man.
You know,
I put him out under the house and shut him up. That buggy whip.
Yes. And he wasn't even hungry for breakfast?
No, he didn't come out. I don't know whether he come out today or not. I ain't saw him.
That buggy whip.
Man, I cut him in two things.
Well, they aren't used to it. It must be a surprise.
That nylon string, it's about that long. I think you just wrapped around him. That's just about how big he is.
Yeah.
Well, is Laura speaking to you today?
Oh, yeah.
She wasn't there.
She had no charge.
Yeah, she was there. But she couldn't go to sleep either.
Yeah.
She was yelling out the window. Pansy, will you shut up? Took all I ride to take. And I said, damn that dog. Daddy, what are you going to do? I'm going to shut that dog up. And
I
went out.
Hear them.
When she heard my truck door slam, she knew I was going to get him with that buggy whip, and I did.
Well,
with
you
me.
Can't, with you?
Yeah, I've got that turn truck now.
And behind the back?
No, I've got, let's build it up in the back end a while ago.
I'm telling you, that's someday. that'll keep you out of West Virginia, Cookie, if you have a few more days like that.
No, that'll put me out in Texas.
Texas.
Well, it's a good thing you didn't try to get to West Virginia from what I hear on the radio.
It sure is.
Ice and snow and sleet and all sorts of weather warnings.
And Bob Gillum from down here at Reddy said he left Ashland, Kentucky Sunday night. And he made it to Quitman, Georgia about 2:30 Tuesday afternoon. He said, Cookie, he said, for God's sake, don't try it.
Give Cookie a little of that food over there. He hasn't had anything to eat.
Oh, yeah, I have. I stopped and eat with Helen and the girls tonight. By damn, I did.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Hot biscuits and molasses.
What,
Alan? I eat hot biscuits, molasses, ham steak, and potatoes and green corn.
You did that better than we did.
And hot biscuits and molasses. They wasn't expecting me. Because they didn't know what time I'd be home. That's when I left. I said, I'm going to find me a truckload of hay before I come back.
Yes, sir.
But you did get off the other day.
Yeah, I got to Georgia. I sold out.
Oh.
I ain't got 3 head of horses in Florida right now. Just 3. Little man, Apex, and Rowdy.
Got hay in your barn.
Hay in the barn.
5 new tires.
Well, once you hit it like that,
I don't know whether that's a good thing or not. You just won't be satisfied the next time with just ordinary.
Well, I come back home and I sold that 66 Ford, by golly.
Oh, cookies.
I sold that thing.
All in one day? Got the money?
Got the cash.
That's what you was holding up for, holding out for.
I got to give it away 3 or 4 times, so I'm a dollar down and the rest of it when I catch them, but I wasn't going to do that.
Yeah.
I've got $375 money.
Yeah. And nothing traded in.
Nothing traded in. Nothing.
Well, it was worth it.
Well worth it. And but I think I bought the guy a car. The one that he can drive anywhere and be proud of.
Well, I don't need front seats. I've got them already.
Now, they might fit in this Plymouth. I don't know.
Yeah.
Plymouth?
A 56 Plymouth. 6-cylinder. Yeah. 4-door sedan. Automatic transmission. Got new vinyl upholstery all in it. It's got a factory engine, new factory engine in it. Less than 20,000 miles on it.
56?
A 1956. All the glasses in it, and there's none of them cracked. It's all in good shape. It looks kind of dingy from the outside. Paint's kind of faded back on it. But $3 and a half and a paintbrush, or a good paintbrush, in 4 hours' time, I think so.
I don't know.
One 4 hours and a half.
And with, where would you get any paint for $3.50?
$3.50? I can go up to Gainesville and get automotive enamel for $6 a gallon.
Well, hell, I'd pay that much for floor paint.
I can get automobile enamel for $6 a gallon.
Guy paid $7.50. More than that, guy, for that gray.
Battleship gray.
Battleship gray paint.
Heck, the paint and the thinner and the primer and the whole thing to paint my truck ain't gonna cost me $15.
What's your truck paint?
Yeah, my whole truck.
Have you painted your truck?
No, but
no.
I'm gonna paint it Saturday night. Those two. The paint, the thinner, the primer, the body put in all ain't gonna cost me $15.
Well,
now it's a different base than your wood, than your battleship porch floor and deck paint. Now it's got a different base to it. See, I'll paint my truck Saturday night about between 9 and 10 and 11:30. I'll drive it home. It'll be done, be dry. I can drive it home at 11:30.
Paint it with a brush?
I'm gonna spray it.
Well, it looked like a new one.
You know, old Roberts had his painted. He had let it set out there till it about rusted up.
Roberts.
Oh, there where I use the telephone. Robert Smith.
Oh.
Now, he got a new coat of paint on, and it looks like it'll hold a long time.
Yeah.
That's cheaper than a shed. I don't think it is. Just let it set out there and rust.
Tomorrow evening, speaking of shed, I'm going to move enough material in over yonder to build me a place for my horses and to put my hay ahead of time.
Yeah. You mean you're going to leave a little hay out over there?
Yeah, oh my goodness, yes, still coffee. Yeah. We'll build a place where I'd put two or three bales out there and let them horses eat when they want to.
Oh, not to have it all, have it where they get to it. Put it in the.
I'm going to build them a manger where they can eat it. Like they're used to.
Yeah.
You think Apex is bright enough? They're like this hot weather.
It is. This hot weather is working on it.
Yeah.
It's really working on it.
He's laying down. The other morning.
It's really working on it. It'll take him weeks, 10 days, longer to get adapted to it.
That's curious, isn't it?
Well, you take Tony when I first brought him down here. He was droopy and drowsy and so forth for a couple, 3 weeks. Yeah. Here we are.
Well, I kept my fingers crossed for you going up to Valdosta.
Well, did Tony get a good master, or you don't know?
I don't know.
I imagine he did. He's pretty hoarse.
He brought me $235, and I was well pleased.
That's what you figured.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
He brought me $235, and Apex wouldn't have brought a dime more. Because I saw real good Tennessee Walkers come in there. And they brought less than $100 bill.
Oh.
Goodness, Cookie.
Sure did. They brought less than $100 bill. One little black mare come in there, a 4-year-old. Blaze face and 4 white stocking feet. I couldn't hardly stay off of her to save my neck. I just had to drop my head and cover up my eyes. Because I wanted her. But at that time, I was thinking about heading out of the country, see?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then, when Bob came in and told me about the weather, well, I done decided not to go. Well, she done sold in, see? And then to keep them buying some, by golly, me and Frank got them left.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'd have brought a trailer and brought back. This sure the world they was going. Walking horses was going dirt cheap.
Mm.
Going dirt cheap, that's right. I lost money on the other 3 I took up there, though. I lost money on
it. But you're off the hook.
I don't know what it is. That's...
I can go to bed and sleep tonight. I'm off the hook.
They just get in the car and breeze around, and they don't care whether they got a horse or not. Too much money?
Well, no. Like I told Frank tonight, I want him to help me unload that hay, and he had to work on his truck. I said, yeah. That hay ain't got a gas feed and steering wheel on it. That's just the way with 90% of the people. A horse ain't got a gas feed and a steering wheel on.
Yeah.
But I told you I wasn't going to sell Apex, didn't I?
Mm-hmm. You did.
There, down there he is, Roddy. Anytime you want to.
Thank you.
He needs it. He needs somebody to ride him. I'm gonna ride him.
Cookie, I've had oats twice in a row now, and I don't get any growth out of it. Of course, it's been. Weather a little warm, but I never had any trouble like that with rye. It wasn't my idea to plant oats. People sort of talked me into it. They liked oats so well. I started out in rye, and I always stayed in rye.
I think I'm partly responsible for you going to oats.
Because animals like it so. Oh.
Well.
They got a lot more food value than rye has. A lot higher in protein than rye.
But they haven't got the growers.
That's right. But it don't take as much of them to make up the protein as it does rye.
Well, my old cow, now looking for protein, they want something to make them stick out. And you see, that stretch over there, I could put that whole bunch of cows in there and let them get a bait. And you couldn't tell where they'd been. And as much there, I had to separate it. Let them eat down one side and then eat the other side down. You remember that?
Yeah, we made an X back there.
Yeah, made an X back there. Well, the oats won't do it.
No.
And they say don't mix it. They'll eat the oats and leave the rye. I've never done it. I've always mixed them.
Yeah. That's what we did over here. We mixed oats and rye together.
And they didn't leave anything.
No.
I tell you, one of the biggest helps that a fella could get right now is to find somebody that do a little custom work for you.
You can't do that. They ain't got time for a little fella.
Well, the thing of it is, you pay them for the time. You don't have to pay them by the 200 acres, you see.
Yeah, but they ain't going to stop for 4 or 5 acres.
Well, they could if you'd pay them.
You pay them for 35 or 40,
yes.
They'll stop for it.
Yes.
But that's ridiculous.
Well, it's too damn much trouble for me to put in all that stuff. You got to go over it too many times, wear you out. You know, that's like, I remember old Coleman over here one time, you know, when he planted his stuff for the mule. See, he'd go over it and plow it, and then he'd go over it and harrow it, and then he'd go over it and line the rows out. What'd he do, Cookie?
He furred it out.
He furred it out.
Yeah. Went back and planted his grain, went back and covered it.
Yeah.
By the time he got to the back side, well, he had to start hoeing in the front row.
That's right. That's right. And you know what, Coleman? He laughed and said if he had added up all the mileage he'd made there in the fields around his house, it would take him to Vietnam and back. And that's the truth. And you know, that's the way it is out here. You know, you do one thing at one trip. You see, just one operation is all you do. Well, these custom people, they spoil you. You see, they go over it once, and it's everything's done. They plow it, and harrow it, and plant it, fertilize it.
All in one operation.
All in one operation. And furthermore, they go about 15 miles an hour. And I go about 3 on mine.
That's right. And you get all shooken up, too.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to plant mine with my horses, by golly. They don't let me go back to work. Gene Burst, then we'll start plowing next week. I may kill myself, but I'll be happy.
Die happy.
And die happy.
It'll keep a seat. Let me ask you to pay this one thing.
Hey?
Little apex won't pull, will he? and a riding horse.
Hmm, what about you think?
Both.
Both? I've already had him in the wagon.
Oh, Tommy. You pulled a wagon with him?
Sure did.
By himself?
No, him with Rowdy.
You'll work with Rowdy?
Yeah.
Is Mr. Weaver still having trouble with coming? Gosh, it's warm in here. Oh, hell, that stove's on.
I don't wonder. What I turned down.
Get a little of that stuff out.
Okay.
Is he still having trouble with his stomach,
Bill? I don't know quite how much he's got. I took him some of that stuff today. Sometimes I think he's sick. Talks about his ailments as much as he's got them. He said those steak sandwiches, top 10, didn't bother him too much. Mr. Ryan, Rabbit Hill Farm. Sometimes I wonder if he doesn't get he won't too bad in taste. He worked as hard as he did. I just draw the line. He's quite a work animal than Tony. That's why I took Tony and sold him.
Can he fuss?
Me and Prance and Dan.
Mm-hmm.
Apex will walk off.
Well, the Apex won't prance like Tony will?
Mm-hmm.
Tony was hard sometimes when you had him in that wagon. He's hard to hang on to.
Apex and Rowdy, just as quiet as you ever saw, and they don't booger at nothing, neither one of them. So I figure no more working them together than I'll do, and the horse is for me.
We really got this kitchen hot. You have to go out and stand on your head.
I'm going to have to keep moving on here in a minute.
You are done your work
today, you got to say you are. Yeah. Anytime you can buy $5 tires for $50 is new.
Yeah.
Never happened
to me.
And get down to
pretty much. That's a trade.
Glad you're
going to
be able to sleep,
Cookie. Yeah, I'm going to sleep tonight. I'll go to bed. That horse feed I bought today, it's got so much molasses in it, you can just pick it up and almost stick together. Pick it in your hand and it almost sticks together.
I got some of that stuff out there. I don't know where I'm going to put it. I have to put it where you can find it at Mineral.
Yeah. But, that's the trouble with the feed we've been getting. It's been being too dry.
That's right.
It's just absolutely too dry.
What do you think it is?
I don't know. They're too tight to put the molasses in it, these feed companies are.
Yeah.
Well, I've got some feed out there in a couple bag of feed. I don't want you to look at it.
Yeah.
Now watch them mix it today.
Yeah.
They mix it fresh.
Does it smell good?
Whatever's happened to old Carl up there at B&G?
I don't know. I don't even deal with it.
You never stopped there?
No.
Never did?
I can't count eggs, but they always count me out 11 for a dozen.
Whatever happened?
I just never could count eggs for them.
Well, I trade up there. And you know how you do. I'd call up, ask if they had it. A lot of times he didn't. And he said, yeah. He looked back there, yeah. And I'd get up there and wouldn't have it. And you do that time or two. And then he gets, he never could stay in corn, as much corn as it is in the world. So he'd go there for a good while, and the only people he'd have feed for was some of his big customers. Well, I don't think he had them, you know.
Well, I tell you what, I've never surprised worse in my life than I was last night. I ordered some feed last night, and I ain't gonna tell you what it cost. I'm gonna show you what it cost. £100 Homaline cost me $6.40.
My gosh, is it?
For 100 pound of horse feed.
I don't think I ever paid. Well, I never paid over five, and that I did at Brownlee's, but we paid four.
That's from Brownlee right there.
Yeah.
$6.40.
Yeah.
That's awful.
But I was caught in the middle. I didn't have no horse feed. And it was about 10 minutes after five then. I called over there and told Toby, I said, Toby, lay me out a bag of feed and some nails. Okay. I'm going to pay for it today and God almighty, look at that. And I got better feed today for $5.30. And I watched the man mix it, by golly. Sure did. Now he put a 50-pound bag for me. That's a little extra.
Yeah.
Normally, I mean, he would put it in a 100-pound bag. So he'd wear that bag. I told him, I said, Jake, I can handle it in a 100-pound bag. I said, put that in 2 50-pound bags for me. Just right quick, yes, sir. But there's no comparison in Brownlee's feed and at the feed up there.
It's stale, a lot of it.
This over there, I mean, it's fresh. They mix it fresh just every day or so. He was mixing sweet feed today, and I got four of the first bags come off of that thing.
Oh,
yeah? 50-pound bag. Yes, my fella. It was still warm when I laid it in the truck.
That's good.
It's just fresh as you ever saw. It may be still warm in the middle now. That's true. And it's got enough molasses in it to keep from binding an animal up.
That's the way it ought to be. Of course, you can add a little molasses. They used to do that for Missy.
Yes, but by gosh, when you pay a high price, $6.40 for a bag of feed, and it's too dusty, you got to wear a gas mask. Well, my goodness.
Well, you don't want to pay six and a half cents a pound for molasses.
No, I ain't gonna pay that for more feed from over there. Heck, I'll let them, I'll put colored glasses on and let them eat sand. There it is.
Miss Mary's got one of them protein molasses tank feeders. Two of them. One on each side of the road. For her cows.
Yeah?
I don't know what that is. It's molasses with supplements in it. Or some such.
Do you remember? $10.60 for 200 pounds.
I don't know who Brownlee sells to at that rate. He just sells to people who run out.
Like me.
Yeah, me.
That's right.
Well,
all right.
Keep it cooking. Let's run over and give this to Mr. Weaver. We'll be right back. Don't get nervous.
Don't get nervous.
What you got outside? Feed?
Yeah. I got a bag I'm taking back up for Lard Horse.
I'll take a look at it.
It's on the face you can come Yes, sir. Well, I have to. How long does 100 pounds of feed last? Say if you're feeding three horses, how long will that hold them?
About 2 weeks.
2 weeks?
Yeah. I don't feed them very much. I'm feeding about a half a gallon once a day with the hay I'm feeding them and what green stuff I can get. That's enough for them.
Well, I'm glad you've got something for
hay test because I was a little concerned about him. I thought, you know, we took this hay down and he just wouldn't eat it. And
yeah.
We weren't surprised at that because we just knew he was used. Guy really got that hay he bought, you know, he can't even feed it out at all. It's just straw.
Cows won't take it.
They won't eat it.
What, the Dallas clover?
Yeah.
They're so funny. They just won't.
Nobody will eat that.
They put it in their mouth and chew and chew and chew and chew and chew and spit it out. They won't take it.
No.
That's really something.
Well, heck, if he got the hay that his cows won't eat, he ain't got no use for it. He better sell it.
I don't think he could sell that
because
it's the straw. I don't think he could even sell it for bedding.
Yes, I could. I'd sell it. I don't know. How much of it has he got?
Well, he's got 50 bales that he paid Berman a dollar bale for that nobody will touch.
God.
He's got that, and then all that stuff he put up, they don't like it.
Well, I'll bet they'll eat that hay I'm off
the door. Now, the cows will eat some of that bahia, but my horses won't. They don't care for it.
Well, I tell you, your horse has got enough green stuff on it, so they won't. They probably wouldn't eat nothing.
They don't need a thing. We grain feed them a little bit, but not a whole lot, do we, Debbie?
Not much.
It's just
that's
all real heavy
fertilized grass. They don't need it. I mean, they can get along without any grain either.
Until it freezes, they will.
Yeah.
Because that's all pretty heavily fertilized over there.
There's a lot of it
like
that.
Gosh, it's green.
I wasn't joking when I told you to ride
it.
Yeah, I
will.
Because I mean it. He needs to be ready. And there ain't everybody that you can trust with a horse and turn loose with one. Am I right, Faith?
That's right. And he needs to be ridden by somebody who
knows how to ride a horse.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you.
And if you want to ride, go get him.
I thought I had him put an English saddle on him. You said he'd ride English, too.
They say he's altogether different horse than an English saddle.
It would be something to see.
That's right. And I bought some bits. Walking horse bits.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll bring them down.
How's that different, Cookie, from walking horse bits?
They're built a lot like a Tom Thumb bit, only got a long shank on them.
Mm-hmm.
Need some more Tom Thumb bits, Faith?
Oh, I don't really do. We just used that one, you know. I like that Tom Thumb bit.
I got a set for Laura and her horse. I believe he'll do real good in the Tom Thumb bit.
Yeah, I think that's one of the best general bits you can get.
And I got a set for Rowdy too, see.
Oh.
Because he don't like those curb bits with a nickel.
Yeah, well, he'll probably do a lot better with the Tom Thumb.
So he's used to those limber bits, like regular work bits.
Yeah.
And a Tom Thumb bit is not too far from a regular work bit.
Yeah.
So, I got some of them. You need a good halter?
You need another halter?
Yeah. It's bright red one. Nylon.
Yeah, I can use a halter.
All right.
How much you have for it?
I don't know. I'd look at the bill.
Looks like me, you found a few things up there.
You bought me a tape player from a truck.
A tape player?
I bought me a tape player from a truck.
Cookie.
I sure did. I done put it in.
Well, I thought you had one in.
No.
You never did.
Laura took it out and put it in her car.
Oh.
Old Daddy bought one for his own truck.
Now you can just hear
that
bluegrass music all you want.
That's right.
You got the cassette? Or the?
No, it's 8-track.
Eight? Oh.
That's Jefferson. That's good genius. I've stuck it in yesterday in about 15 minutes.
The Put it in where the radio is?
No,
I don't know anything.
Put it right underneath. Put the speakers on the kick pads on the side. Don't cost anywhere to go first class. That's safe.
That's right. Frank came up in a car today.
That's his.
Said he paid $35 for it or something like that.
That's his.
He came up looking for a screwdriver and a...
Yeah, but he's running my tires on the damn thing.
Huh?
He got my tires on it, though.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
He said he wanted to borrow a screwdriver and a something else. Tires. Well, I tell you, we are working bunch around here, but the weather sort of got us. We sort of got droopy.
You know what? This weather's about to kill me.
Okay, I'm wondering about that.
I just absolutely can't stand it when that sun starts coming out about 80 degrees. I've got to find a shady spot. And then when it gets cold, I've got to find a sunny spot. There ain't no happy medium, you know?
Mm-hmm. Cookie, what is this medical thing? Is that about this insurance? Or is it just
because
you need a physical?
No, of course I need a physical.
Oh.
They're going to tell me whether I can work or whether I can't.
I see.
And I'm hoping they'll tell me I can't work.
Yeah.
On public work. Because I'm doing all right for myself now. There's no question about it. I'm doing all right. If I could just get them car and that car and truck payment out of my hair, I wouldn't go back to work. I wouldn't. I'd hold straight there.
Sure would like to see Apex and Rowdy pulling sometime. I wasn't here when you had them hitched up before.
You had them together Sunday, didn't you?
Yeah.
I didn't see them.
I probably had them hooked up this week. I know I had them hooked up this week. There's so much, Tony and Rowdy made a good team, but... Apex is not that much bigger than Tony was. Tony and Apex was about the same size. They made a well-matched team.
That's
in,
right.
In weight.
Because
I had them hooked together.
Mm-hmm.
And had it not been for Apex, I couldn't have controlled Tony to save my neck. I couldn't have done it. And... that's when the other man offered me that money for old Apex, and I wouldn't think.
Oh, is that right?
That's right. I was offered $400 for him.
Well, I'm surprised you didn't take it.
Well, I'd almost made up my mind to go ahead and do what I'd done at that time, see?
Yeah.
Because I hate to see a good horse like that go any place.
Well, I'm sort of glad you didn't take him up to the market.
He wouldn't have brought $200.
I didn't have to, because that's the sort of thing. He'd have to be specially bought to bring what you wanted, as you knew. You know what? I've got to get out of this kitchen pretty soon. Get out. Debbie usually runs up and down the lane.
It's pretty warm in here. Oh.
I got to get out of here and go.
I tell you what, I got to go out there and smell that sweet food. That's what I got to do.
Mm-hmm. Let me see that too. You know, Cookie, I've got to go out and feed the horses in the morning, and I love the smell of sweet peas so much. I get hungry smelling it. I can't wait to have my breakfast.
Now, that hay smells as good, according
it does.
As that sweet feed that I bought.
Oh, really?
It sure does.
Now we're going to have to come down and smell that, too.
I've got 20 bales in the back of my trailer, in my old trailer down there.
Oh, man.
I put them in there myself tonight, and it's just about to get me.
Well, you should have come up here and got some help. You know,
I didn't know there was anybody up here.
Now, where would we have been?
I didn't know there was anybody up here.
You should have come to see.
Yes. So, you know, you shouldn't have, you shouldn't pull that hay around. All that stuff.
Heck, I went and loaded it.
Twice in one day? Looking all that around?
Sure is.
Well, I'm ready to go out there and smell that sweet tea myself.
Yeah, I'm ready to get outside and light the cigar, too.
Go smell sweet tea.
Yeah, I think I'll.
Time to write and end the visit with Cookie. This Thursday after supper, we interrupted our work session. This 4th of January, 73. The end of channel. This is the end of the visit with Cookie. The end of channel 2. Write and the end of the visit with Cookie after supper. This Thursday, the 4th of January, 73.